Assalamu alaikum, peace be with you, and welcome to Islam and Life with me, Tariq Ramadan, broadcasting from London. In today's show, we ask the question, what are the causes of Islamophobia and discrimination in Europe?
A European Monitoring Centre's recent study shows that European-born Muslims are increasingly feeling alienated and rejected in their countries in comparison to their parents. With the rise of the far right-wing political parties in most of Europe in the last 5 years, who claim that multiculturalism has failed, integration policies have taken a back seat, resulting in rampant Islamophobia. Feeling alienated, more and more young Muslims find themselves drawn to radicalization, a subject of intense debate in the European Union. Islam and Life investigates, what are the root causes of discrimination and Islamophobia in Europe, and how should Muslims deal with them?
It's quite clear that in Europe today, the Muslims are facing discrimination and Islamophobia. On one side, we have European institutions speaking about Islamophobia, speaking about a new kind of racism in Europe. Not only in Europe, by the way, what we have now in the United States of America was 18 states, within 80 states, we have people claiming that Sharia is a danger, that we have to ban it from being implemented in the states, sometimes in states where there is no Muslim, in fact, almost no Muslim. At the same time, we have this in Europe now, and it's widespread with populist parties speaking about the danger of these Muslims, even though they are citizens. Sometimes they are a danger, and the more they are integrated, the more they appear as being dangerous for the homogeneity of the European culture. So this is on one side. And we also have political activists saying that, no, there is nothing like Islamophobia. It's a new term, a new concept, that it's there is no substance about it, it's wrong, and the people are refusing to talk about it. So this is a very deep discussion, and why we are facing in many European countries elections. It's quite clear that this is used by populists, by far-right parties to target the Muslims as not being Europeans or being the other within or the outsider within and dangerous because they are not respecting, because of their religion, the very essence of the European culture and the European legislations. These are questions that we have to ask, and to answer all these questions, I'm joined by Talha Jamil Ahmed, a barrister and member of the Muslim Council of Britain. Thank you for being with us
today.
I think it's important to start about the state of affairs because the state of affairs is really where we are dealing with an atmosphere in Europe. And it's not only in France, as is it perceived. We have it in the liberal and Dutch society, in the UK, in Belgium, in Switzerland, my own country, where you have the first party is the Swiss People Party targeting the Muslims. Yeah. How would you describe the situation in Europe today?
Although some people will argue that Islamophobia probably hasn't risen as much, but what we clearly can say is that the expression, the visibility of Islamophobia certainly has increased. As you rightly mentioned, political parties, even certain mainstream political parties, are willing now to openly make comments and make observations and perhaps call for certain initiatives which are detrimental and disrespecting of Muslim people. So in the UK, we have seen obviously by means of BNP, EDL, but also even some of the mainstream...
British National Party.
Yeah, British National Party and others. But even mainstream parties, I mean, even if we look in terms of some major politicians, sometimes they would make comments which are unhelpful, and sometimes it goes on to show either their naivety, their ignorance about Muslims.
But let me ask you one question about this, because this is something that I've been facing for many years. For example, you are talking about the traditional parties, it could be the Labour or the Tories, and what we have, it's people saying, look, at the end of the day, you are calling Islamophobia, any kind of criticisms against Islam. Do you make a difference between this and that, and what is the difference?
There is obviously a difference. One is about if you make a valid observation about Muslims, for example, and there are issues, and we live in a free society, people can have questions, queries,
but who decides valid and invalid?
But who decides valid and invalid? The point is, if you make an observation or if you make a comment, it must have a basis. What we see, if we think in terms of BNP, for example, some of their claims, for example, Muslim will take over the UK, Muslim are taking all of their housings in certain areas, Muslims are taking our jobs.
For example, when they are saying your presence is threatening the stability and the security within the country because of violence, is it valid or not?
Well, if we look at it, do they have any substance? The facts do not support it. I mean, even if you talk with Muslims, there isn't a huge demand that we ought to establish Sharia in the UK. So when you're talking about Muslim swamping and threatening and to establish Sharia, where does that come from? Because majority of the Muslims in this country are not calling for it. In fact, many probably wouldn't want to. Majority of the Muslims in this country probably wouldn't even want to live under Sharia. When they talk about accommodation, Muslims talk about accommodation, they're talking about things that doesn't really affect others.
But what makes a comment being Islamophobic in your view?
One is obviously if it has no substance. Okay. Second, it's driven by a sense of hatred. So if you make a comment because you don't just dislike, you hate. And there is a difference between dislike and hatred. Hatred is where potentially you'd go out of your way to make life difficult for others.
That is quite blurred area, though.
It is. But I think if you look at, say, one of the way you can look at it is if you look at BNP's hatred towards Muslim, and if you look at UKIP, UK Independent Party's hatred, you can see clearly the difference. And same way, if you compare UKIP's views with Conservatives, for example, you will see, again, differences. So obviously, the more mainstream the parties are, they tend to come up with more sophisticated and perhaps, on the borderline of Islamophobia.
But you would have in the mainstream parties people saying, it's valid because what we are talking about is what is happening on the ground. And they use an anecdote in, just happened yesterday, saying, look, all the Muslims are like this woman and like this man that are not respecting the law and they want special treatment. And the point is really to target Muslims because of the only fact that they are Muslims, and it's rejecting the religion per se without coming with arguments. But still, it's not always easy to come with a clear definition of what we are talking about.
It isn't. I mean, the different people would go to different lengths. I think we can draw some line, though. If your comment is clearly aimed at humiliating, denigrating a certain individual or a group of people, or a whole section of a society, then that is clearly unacceptable.
Which is a kind of racism.
Very close to racism.
In fact, it's not racism? What are you saying it's close to racism? What is the difference?
The difference would be race is where you dislike people simply based on their color, ethnicity. But it could be Islamophobe against even white Muslims, people who have converted to.
Racism against Islam or Muslims, would you accept that?
You could say, it is. Amounts to racism.
Because Tariq Madhu, the sociologist, he prefers to speak about racism against Muslims than to speak about Islamophobia.
I think, again, that's because more to do with the fact that we would like to think that in a free society we should be able to criticize a faith.
Yes.
Why shouldn't we? But we should not be criticizing people
so
for being black or, black or white. So from that perspective, I think some people find it more comfortable to talk in terms of race.
Yes.
But it goes beyond race, because if you're a Muslim suddenly, normally if it's acceptable for you to be white, and there's no racism against you, but suddenly once you become Muslim, you could be attacked verbally, physically. So it's not just strictly racism.
Okay. So let us come now to the causes, because this is a very important. Why do you think that in Europe we are facing such a wide trend and stream of people now not being scared of speaking against Muslims and just make very, very tough and bland statements about Islam and Muslims?
I think there are a number of factors. The important one would be, one, if we look in terms of the current geopolitics, both internally as well as globally, global geopolitics is very much focused on war on terror, and war on terror is often linked to the idea of Islamic resurgence in certain places, people wanting to establish Sharia. And even in that, what we see is that there is no recognition that you could be Muslim, you could be Islamically inspired, but you have a perfectly valid and legitimate political aspiration. Hmm. There is no distinction between those who wants to kill indiscriminately for the purpose of establishing so-called Sharia and those who wants to promote Islam and try to persuade the society in accepting Islam as a...
But who is confusing all this? Because we heard Tony Blair when he was Prime Minister, but we also heard even the President Bush saying, no, we are not targeting Muslims. We are targeting violent extremism or Islamists, the way they were putting it.
Yeah.
So they are making a difference.
I think they are...
Even themselves.
When they talk about, obviously, they want to show that we are not totally discriminating against the Muslims. Hmm. But if we look at their policies in slightly more details, take David Cameron's Munich speech, for example, which he gave a few weeks ago, in which he talks about people who go about practicing their faith on a day-to-day basis, that is fine. But then he talks about people who has an ideology, a religious ideology, which they go on to promote, and almost as if suggesting that people religiously inspired, Islamically inspired people, when going into politics, we will not accept them.
Yeah.
Now, the point is, you can't point to anything. If we take about British values of fairness, of freedom of speech, freedom of expression, and so on, what is wrong with me saying that I want to promote an Islamic way of life? As long as I do not want to impose it, as long as I do it in a debate, try to persuade people through debate and discussion. What's wrong with that?
At the end of the day, in a democratic way.
Yeah. But he's not. He doesn't seem to recognize the difference between having an Islamic political ideology and having a political ideology where you think it is acceptable to indiscriminately kill people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why can't you have a political ideology?
So it's still also a political cause that the leaders in Europe are spreading around a confusing image of Islam, while they are saying we are targeting the radicals and the violent extremism. At the same time, in fact, implicitly, very often, we talk about Islam. What else could be the cause?
I think another issue is a genuine fear in the mind of some people. For example, for a long time, although now we see the Arab Spring sweeping across the Middle East, but for a long time, people used Egypt as an example to demonstrate certain governments' duplicity. And they would point to the fact that West was willing to live with Mubarak's gross violation of human rights in massive scale. And why they were living with it? Because they feared that if they stepped in and if they were not living with it, they probably would get Ikhwan or Muslim Brotherhood in power, which would be much worse for them. So they have this fear that if we try to push through values of freedom, fairness, justice, and so on, are we going to get a regime which would be rather unfavorable to us? But what they did not do is, now, if you don't like a political party, that is your right. You could do so. But why don't you engage in looking at what is it that they are professing rather than just denouncing?
But once again, that's true with the Muslim majority countries, with some of the legal Islamists, Islamist groups. But when it comes to here, when, for example, you are a young British Muslim.
Yes.
You were born here in this country?
I was born in Bangladesh, but I came at a young age, yes.
So you are British, this is your nationality.
Mm.
And you are dealing with fellow citizens, and they are looking at you and say, I'm scared of your religion.
But
I'm scared of your religion because first, I'm scared of you because I was not used to have you in my street. Now you are new here.
But actually, in a day-to-day experience, you'd find a different picture. In the neighborhood that we live in, most of us would have good and positive relationship with our neighbors.
But this is why you get Cameron saying, look, the Muslims are self-segregating themselves. They live among themselves.
Well, again, that is not true. Because if you look at the new generation of Muslims, professional Muslims who has got decent job, earning decent money, you see that they're the last people who wants to live in the so-called ghettos.
Yes.
So it's not true that Muslim wants to live in the ghettos. Now, then you'll say, why is it that Muslims are concentrated in only a few areas? Well, that's because if you look at Muslims, unemployment is high in them. Education rate is still low. So what happens is, and also in terms of provisions, Muslims like to have a mosque nearby them if they can.
Yes.
They want to send their kids after school into the maktab if they can. They want to have the so-called halal butchers if they can. Now, if you live in a rich Hampshire...
Someone who is listening to you would say, you want to segregate yourself with a butcher, with a mosque, with a school, so you want a village.
But you could turn it around, could you not, by saying that certain needs can be catered. And one classic example would be our Jewish community in the UK, who are significantly smaller as a community in the UK.
Yes.
But if you look in terms of their provisions being catered, you'd find kosher pretty much everywhere now.
Yes.
Yeah. And yet you don't find halal. I mean, I give you one example.
I have lots of halal now, no?
You do, but again, if you go beyond the Muslim comfort zone, you will see that you'd find it very difficult.
Yeah.
If you go to some parts of London where there's a huge Muslim population, you'll find Asda, Tesco, everybody's selling halal. But if you go to other part of the, London, you'll struggle to find anything halal.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I give you one example. I mean, I went to an event this afternoon. There's lunch provided, and I couldn't eat any of it because, surely you are not going to ask me that I ought to give up my faith and eat it.
Yeah.
And yet, if they really wanted to make an effort to have something which is halal, I don't think it would have been difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Muslim, for these practical reasons, sometimes they may want to live in one place, but that is not out of dislike.
Okay, but this is the point. Mm. Now, if you want to change this perception among your fellow citizens, and you want to solve the problem, because out of fear you may have this Islamophobia and rejection of Muslims and Islam, because what is said by politicians, what is watch on TV is negative, and the perception is negative. In some countries, the negative perception of Islam is up to 75% of the people. 3 out of 4 are having a perception that Islam is not a European religion. If you want to change this image, you are a young British Muslim. What should you do?
There are things that we can do, but I think on the outside we need to recognize that the wider society, as a decent civilized society, need to recognize that this is a problem in which they, as the majority, as the host community, if I can use such word.
Do you think that you are in a host society?
No, I don't. But I'm saying people...
Your society.
Those who wants to single out Muslims as, foreign or rather different people living in their midst.
Hmm.
As civilized, decent, free people, we ought to take the challenge that in our society, nobody should be singled out simply because of their faith.
So it's a two-way process.
So it is a two-way process. So they need to recognize. So the mainstream media, for example, need to recognize that they need to be objective in terms of covering the Muslims. The politicians
the politicians are not going to do that because this is the way to win the next election.
I will come to what we need to do, but I think we need to mention this from the outset that for far too often Muslims get told that we need to do this. Yes, we do need to do a lot of things, but this also must be recognized that the wider society, the wider non-Muslim society also need to do their bit in order to empower the Muslims to play a fuller part in the society. Now, as a Muslim, one of the things that we ought to do is try to get the message of Islam, what Islam is all about, what Muslim wants, the Muslim aspiration to the wider society, and actually demonstrate that our aspirations are very similar to the aspirations of any other ordinary people.
Practically speaking, what should be done? Because this is where, for years I have been working at the grassroots level, trying to reach out, and we still have this sense that the Muslims are more reactive than active.
A lot of good things are happening, maybe not as in as big of a scale as we would like to, but many mosques, for example, are opening up, inviting non-Muslims in their locality, sometime from beyond their locality, to come in, have a lunch, have some snacks, discuss and see. And that, although this is not enough, but this is one example of the things that Muslims can do. Another issue is, I think, in terms of Muslim intellectual base, I think we still lack an intellectual base where we can actually produce intellectual response to counter many of the so-called reports that different.
Why is it missing, according?
Well, it's missing for a number of reasons. Yeah. There is an issue of, as I mentioned earlier, Muslims are not one of the advanced ethnic or religious communities in the UK. We still are far behind compared with others in terms of education, in terms of employment. So there is the issue of education. Also, we have seen that the Muslims traditionally went into areas where they were not necessarily in a position to influence policies. For example, medicine, engineering, that sort of thing would be right at the top of an aspiring young Muslim's mind when he chose his career. But now we do see many Muslims going into social sciences and other areas where they can influence policies. So a lot of good things are happening. I mean, I mentioned earlier...
Is it only a question of time? Because one of my take on this is yes, we have to be active, we have to have a vision for the future, but it's also a question of time with three generations.
I think it is a question of time, but at the same time, we can't be complacent thinking about time, because if the moment you say it is a question of time, one of the problem
not
would
only,
be,
but it's
one of the problem would be that many of us would resign into whatever we are doing. So it is a matter of time, because Islam only came to the fore as a religion in the Western societies very recently. Although Muslim has been living in the West for many years now, but Islam as a political force, Islam as a religion which has social political vision, it came to the West pretty recent. And it became very prominent after 9/11, really. And when it came to the prominence, it was again in an adverse environment. So people came to know Islam through a negative lens, a negative stereotypical view. So it will take time before they will penetrate through the Quran, through others, and be more open in terms of what they read rather than just selective.
Thank you so much. I think that with our discussion, we have been able just first to start with the definition or to try to get a sense of what Islamophobia is, and what you are saying, it's quite important when it comes to rejection of the Muslims and portraying and spreading hatred, which is part also of this kind of rejection and invalid criticism, while once again, it's a question of discussing it. And some of the scholars are using, this is a new kind of racism, and saying, in fact, is when Muslims are targeted because of the only fact that they are Muslims, men and women. And something that you said, which is important, the phenomenon is it's in all the European societies and all the European communities. But there is something which is important, is a two-way process, that the countries and the wider society should understand that Islam is a European religion, and something should be done to get a better understanding. To what you are saying, in the social realities where the people are segregated not because of religion but because of the social status, and this is what it's important. And the last point is for the Muslims to be much more involved. It's a question of time, but Muslims should be committed and to get a better understanding of their society and to spread around a better understanding of Islam, which is what you are saying as also a young British Muslim living in the country and dealing at the grassroots level. Well, that's all we have time for. Please let us know your thoughts and views on any of the shows you have seen, and here is the way to contact us.
We'd like to hear your views on today's show, as well as ideas for future programmes. You can do this by emailing us at islamandlife@presstv.co.uk. You can also join our Facebook page by searching Islam and Life on Press TV, where you can view past programmes, keep up to date on future shows, leave comments, and meet other Islam and Life fans.
Finally, I would like to thank my guest, Talha Jamil Ahmad. Thank you so much for your input, and hoping that you will carry on this struggle for more justice in these societies here in Europe. And I hope to see you next week, inshallah.
Thank you for inviting me.